Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. Rained all week and even a little bit of snow, but we ignored that, of course, because it just melted as soon as it touched the ground, so there's nothing we could do about it. And now the rain has stopped and the air is all fresh and the lawns are greened up and we're ready for something else. Sun came out just in time for the installation of new officers of the Catholic Fraternal Order, the Knights of the Order of the Golden Nimbus, a kind of a fraternal order for Catholic geezers, and they were out in all of their finery and their plumed hats and their blue sashes and all of the religious gewgaws and their satin capes and swords. They got swords and shoes with silver buckles. They were parading around. There's a lot of crisscrossing and bowing and bending and kneeling and genuflections in all directions and smoke and bells and all the rest. And then the homily was delivered there in Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility by Mr. Pomerantz, who is the keeper of the sacred flame, and he was talking about the foundation of the Knights of the Golden Nimbus and how these men on the darkest day, back in the dark ages themselves, looked at each other and saw this golden aura all around each other's heads. Nobody else noticed it, but they noticed it, and so they formed this knighthood, and then they were persecuted by the Lutherans who took them into custody and who tied them to posts and who piled stones on them, not to kill them, but to make them inert. And then the Lutherans preached at them for hours and days, which didn't kill them, but they wished that it would. The Lutherans have brought in an interim pastor to replace Pastor Liz, who's left for Rome. Pastor Howard Haugen came in and he preached last Sunday. He's come now. It's a temporary interim, you know, while they search for a new permanent person, semi-permanent person. He had silver white hair and he wore white loafers and stood up there on Sunday morning with this big grin and his big white teeth, and he looked like nothing so much as the host of a game show. His sermon had a kind of recycled feel to it, as if he'd found it somewhere, but he hadn't read it himself, and he stumbled over the word discernment, which a Lutheran shouldn't be able to pronounce it. It's a very short sermon. It was about 9 minutes in length, and it was not about the gospel text whatsoever, about Jesus appearing to his disciples after the resurrection and showing them his hands and his feet and his side. It was about golf and how much we learn about ourselves when we play this game. There just was not much there, just a kind of an all-purpose certainty about things. And so people sat and studied Pastor Haugen very closely, and the consensus afterward during coffee hour, whispered back and forth, was that indeed he had work done and he is using makeup. It's hard to tell just how much. Marlene, the church secretary, says that he plays a lot of solitaire in the office. And where is his wife, assuming he has one? We weren't sure. He appears to be what the church calls a coaster. He's coasting towards retirement. A lot of coasters in the clergy, and some of them become coasters soon after they are ordained. Marlene called a friend of hers down at the synod, and the friend said that when Pastor Haugen left his last church, he was gone for a month before they really noticed. Because he taught no confirmation, he taught no Bible study, and the men's Bible study group, after a while, started meeting in a bar, and it became a kind of a sports roundtable. The friend said the secret of getting his attention is to find his deck of cards in the office and take all the aces out. And that'll make him come and find you, and then you'll be able to talk to him. But he's playing solitaire online, and so that isn't going to really work for Marlene. He had to go visit Ruthie Jonasson's family on Monday, because she died on Sunday. She was 99. She was just a month short of her 100th birthday. The last 10 years of her life, she was not all that clear. She was alert, but she wasn't clear, and she seemed to think she was back during the Truman administration, so that her great-grandson actually went and interviewed her, and from talking to her, he was able to write a history paper and get an A on it. It's like he'd actually been there himself. Anyway, she died, and Pastor Haugen, though he'd never met her, he was, you know, very genial, and he was very well-dressed and presented himself well. His hair was beautiful. His skin was looked tanned, or at least had something on it. And he was very genial through the big uproar on Tuesday. Larry, the custodian, had to dig the grave. And because she took so long to die, almost 100, her grave was right there in the middle of, in kind of a densely settled area. And the ground was still frozen, and they wanted the funeral to be on Friday, and he just couldn't, even with a pick, and his back was bothering him, and he just got sort of irritated, and he got us a couple of sticks of dynamite, and they were small sticks, but not as small as he had thought, and so it went off, and it knocked a couple of tombstones over, and there was a big hump at the Bunsen gravesite, about 3 feet high, as if they were trying to get out. And of course, there was an uproar about this. This simply is not done in Lake Wobegon, and people on the church council took him to task for it. Well, Larry said, if we don't bury her, we'll have to put her in a cooler. And who wants to think of their mother and grandmother in a refrigerator? Meanwhile, he kind of jumped up and down on the Bunsens, and she kind of got them leveled out there. But the explosion did something to the church's Wi-Fi, and it left Pastor Haugen without internet. He couldn't play solitaire, and that made him very, very unhappy, and he paced back and forth. He went all over the church trying to find internet. There was none, because it's an underground line, and it had blown up when the dynamite went off, when Ruthie was going to be put into her grave. He had to do the funeral, but he didn't know her from a bale of hay, and so he had to come up with a sermon, and he gave a sermon, or tried to, a sermon about hot dish and how it includes many different ingredients, and each of them may not seem so important, but altogether it makes a delicious thing, and that she was part of the hot dish of our lives, and somehow that got into golf, and he was recalling the last round that he played with his father and how he tried to take it easy on the old man, but the old man was four strokes up, and so Pastor decided to bear down, and he was three strokes back, and then he was walking down the fairway, and his dad yelled, and the next thing he knew, a golf ball hit Pastor Haugen in the middle of his back, and it knocked him down. And then he realized this was a lesson to him, not to try so hard to be a winner, but to live with love in his heart. This took him almost 45 minutes. The organist jumped in at that point and started to play to rescue him from saying any more. And there was a prayer, and there was the 23rd Psalm, and there was Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nesting bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge there was given, and Ruthie Jonasson went down to her reward. The dynamite also made for a leak in Pastor's office, and water has been dribbling down the wall, and Larry set up a fan to kind of dry it out, and Pastor's moved upstairs. He sits up there with his laptop open, trying to get a signal somehow. But the only thing he can get, for some reason, is the picture of his first wife, his ex-wife. He tries to delete her, and she will not be deleted. She is there, and she has a grim, grim look on her face. He turns it off. He turns it back on. There she is, looking at her. Her eyes are dark, heavy-lidded. Her hair is a mess. She looks angry. She's almost talking to him. One of these days, she may. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.